So how are you going to get Tony, mate?
When I wild card.
This is just like a huge error from you, isn't it?
No, it is.
Okay. We know you're going to have three Brentford players prepared. And you haven't put the best one in, mate.
Yes, so that is a slight issue of mine that I've made.
Football show. Hello everybody, my name's James. Welcome to another Planet FPL Clash of the Correspondents. And this week we're looking forward to a big encounter in game week 4. Firstly, let me introduce you to our Brentford correspondent, Tom Med. How are you, Tom?
I'm good, James. How are you? You all right?
Very well, thank you, mate. And let me introduce you to our Everton correspondent, Sean Norton. How are you, Sean?
I'm okay, James. Hope you're okay too.
Very well, thank you, mate. We have to get the important business out of the way. Obviously, this podcast is going out for you on Thursday. We are pre-recording this on Sunday night because we all have busy lives and it was difficult to pencil something into the schedule this week. So if you hear something and suddenly Everton have spent 60 million astonishingly on a forward or something and we haven't mentioned it, that's why we haven't mentioned it. I don't think that's quite going to happen. But yeah, just be aware we are recording this a few days in advance. Tom, must start with you. Fulham, off the back of Manchester United.
I was going to say, you could have had me on last week. I'd be much more fun, wouldn't it? So,
well, the way you spoke about Fulham in pre-season, I didn't think I could take that risk, to be honest.
No, they looked... I mean, I know it was a derby game, but all credit to them, they were much, much better than us yesterday. We were pretty poor. Defensively was absolutely shocking. So, yeah, it wasn't great. I mean, especially after the jubilant scenes of last weekend. But, yeah, I mean, I think I looked at it today and it's like, well, if you said now in game week 3, not looking at the who we've played and who we've beat, if we were 4 points after 3 games, I'd be pretty happy. It's just we've got the 3 points from a game where we shouldn't have got 3 points on paper, and we've lost 3 points where maybe we should have got 3 points. So I'll take 4 points after 3 games, not bad at all.
Now, the four-point return's absolutely fine. There's something nagging away at me in terms of the Saturday game at Fulham. It's the change in the system. So you started with a back four at Leicester. You switch to a back three in-game, dominate the end of the game. You stick with a back three against Manchester United, blow them apart, go to Fulham, play a back four, change during the game again to a back three, perform much better when you do so. Why are you not just playing a back three, mate?
So I did say that before. I thought we'd change back to a back four after the United game, just because of what happened at the end of last season, and we played so much better with that system. With the United game, it was going to be quite clear that they were going to dominate possession, I think, and we were going to sort of break on them and play that way. In the Fulham game, I think it was more expected that we would control the ball, and because we'd have more control of the ball, we'd then have, by having Tony through the centre and Vissa and Mbeumo on the wings, it would be a better system for us against Fulham. But I think now that that's happened and what we've seen, exactly as you said, going back to a back three, looked a bit better. I thought Pontus was pretty poor yesterday. He just, it wasn't all his fault, but he just looked so caught out a couple of times that having the third centre-back just gives him a bit of, he's not the fastest man in the world. I mean, it looks like he's running through jelly at best of times. So yeah, I think having three back could be helpful at least until Ayer is actually backing in the team. Once he's backing in the team, then it might be we can be a bit more fluid between fours and three backs. But I think going back to a three back, at least for until he's back fit, is probably a good idea.
So what are you expecting now for Everton?
Yeah, three back.
Are you think, yeah?
I think so, yeah. I mean, yeah, as you said, like we moved to a three back. We look much better. We did it against United. We look much better. We were 2-0 down against Leicester playing four back. In the second half, we changed to a three back. We looked much better and we came back 2-2. So It would be what I'd expect. And I think it's one of those where it's almost Frank's almost a little bit pressured into doing it because we performed so much better in the last, we're in the three games as a three back, and as a four back, it's just not really quite worked. I think yesterday the mistake really was playing Jensen and De Silva together because it just didn't really have the cover. I mean, usually having Norgaard and Yana was pretty, it's a bit nicer. And then being able to then bring on either Jensen or bring on De Silva, bring on that attacking threat later in the game if we're chasing it, but I think it needed a bit more control in the middle, which we didn't really have yesterday. So
Okay. Sean, are Everton sticking permanently with a back three at the moment?
Certainly for the next few games, I would imagine, until we get some more midfielders available. I can't see us changing from it.
How do you feel with the system? Are you happy with it? Just ignore the results for the moment. Are you happy with Everton playing that system?
No, I mean, I mentioned previously that I had a bit of a fear that we'd end up going to three at the back. I think the problem for me is it ends up very much as a back five, not, you know, three centre backs and having wingers, whether that's 3-5-2 or 3-4-3. It's very detrimental to the attacking side of the game. And, you know, we're not seeing Patterson bombing on, running past players, getting to the byline. And, you know, Mikalenko, I've repeatedly said on these pods that, you know, he's not a wing back. He's not a fantasy option because he's not very good going forward. And so it's just all very, very defensive minded. And obviously with the fact that we've got no real striker at the minute, it doesn't help us at all, I don't think.
Do you think if Calvert-Lewin had played in the first three games, you'd have more than 1 point?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
So if the performance has been okay in the three games?
They've been. I mean, I don't think there was much in it against Chelsea. I think if Don plays or, you know, we still had with Charlison, we could easily have got something from that game. And, you know, we shot ourselves in the foot, didn't we, with Doucouré being a bit silly and putting his hands on Chilwell for the pen. We didn't really look like scoring, you know, too often, but I'd argue Chelsea never either. You know, Villa, again, we shot ourselves in the foot. You know, we were poor on turnovers a couple of times that cost us. And then again, against Forest, we just didn't take our chances. And then, you know, my sort of long-standing issue with us is, we're just always liable to do something a bit silly, and you know, I don't know whether I'm being overly harsh, but Pickford sort of save parrying it right back out to the only real danger in the box at the time. You know, it's not great. It doesn't lend itself to keeping clean sheets, and so we're stuck between leaking the odd goal and struggling to score. So it's difficult to see where any wins come from right now.
Does that, Tom, knowing that Everton will almost certainly play a back three, does that have any impact, do you think? Or is it just psychologically you've performed better with three at the back in these last three games and with a back four, it's going back to a back three?
I think so. I think I'm not 100% sure, really. I mean, I think the issue we had yesterday is Vista didn't look fantastic. And then it's like, well, I guess you could bring in Keenlos Potter and play it as the four again. I'm not really sure really where I'll go with it. I think the three back sort of what everyone has been going, oh, let's go back to it because we have just performed so much better with it. But I don't really know where we'll go with it on Saturday. I mean, it's a bit of a coin toss, really. I mean,
the irony is that everything got so much better towards the back end of last season when you
because we went
back
to four. Exactly. Yeah. I think it helped though. I mean, I've said from. Like when I was on correspondent week, that I don't think Pontus and Ben Mee will be the starting centre back pair because I think Aya and Pinnock are better. And obviously, with them being both out, I think having a third centre back there just to hold. I mean, Roslev in the United game was great, and he's not really a centre back himself, but with Aya almost fit and obviously with Roslev playing well, I think it makes sense really just to play that three back and just sort of go for them. I mean, and then if we're chasing, I mean, if we're playing the game and let's say it's 0-0 when we get into 60 minutes or something like that, then start throwing on wingers and start, you know, changing it up and doing something different from there.
So the flip is, obviously against United, for example, you obviously unapologetically took advantage of the situation with Lisandro Martinez in terms of going quite direct against him.
Yeah.
Everton have got powerful units.
Yeah.
And also they're not going to attack with the same numbers in the sense that you're not dealing with Ronaldo, Fernandes, Sancho, Rashford, for example. You're dealing with a very different system that might just say to your back three, go on and have it. And we'll deal, Everton will deal with it once it plays into midfield areas. Is that a concern?
I don't think so. I mean, I think our midfield's pretty good on the ball, to be honest. I think sort of passing from the back and moving through the gears at the front's quite nice with Tony up top as well. And I mean, if they played the two up top, then I actually think it suits them quite well, because Tony with the hold up and then Mbeumo with the pace, I think it will work playing three back. But yeah, I mean, sitting here, I couldn't say we were going to go three or four back this weekend. I think it's Visser wasn't really on it yesterday, on Saturday. And I don't know whether Kinos Potter's quite ready yet, whether he gives an opportunity on this weekend and they go for it, and they do go 4-3-3. But he just didn't, Visser just wasn't quite, I mean, there was no tracking back from him, really. It was Mbeumo and Tony doing quite a lot of the sort of hard work getting back, and Visser sort of didn't do too much. Obviously got the assist for Tony's goal, but I mean, that was all made by Mbeumo, really.
I mean, we'll talk more about the individual FPL assets to come, but that's a little off-putting for me, that I don't know how you're going to play at the weekend. No. I'm honestly the same as you.
Yeah,
not sure. And it doesn't mean, or you can't win with a back three, or you can't win with a back four, but it does put me off a little bit. I mean, we've spoken before about Tony.
Yeah.
And essentially probably it being better for him in a four, would that be fair?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, him playing through the centre is much better. He just gets, I mean, he can do what he does, which is sit in the box and poach goals. I mean, the goal on the weekend was, what, he was 8-9 yards out and came across to him and he pokes it in, sort of thing. And the disallowed goal, again, comes into him inside the box, takes control, shoots, obviously was offside, but his, where he needs to be is inside the box. And obviously when he plays as a two, he becomes sort of the drop back player who releases Mbeumo to be more forward and more central. So yeah, definitely Tony in a four is better.
Yeah, agreed. What did you think of the Mitrovic celebration? Not Mitrovic's, I mean Tony's celebration.
Which one? What for? Sorry.
Well, Tony, when he scored, did the old Mitrovic shaking thing next to his ear, didn't it? I mean,
it didn't.
That's come back to bite a bit, hasn't it?
A little bit, yeah. And he did it twice as well, didn't he? He did it in the offside goal.
Yeah,
he did. And then he did it when he actually scored. For God's sake, yeah. Yeah, I mean. It's all a bit of fun, really. And it's a big, you know, it's a big derby game. So, I mean, he's a bit of a wind-up merchant himself. So, no, I thought it was a bit of fun. But yeah, obviously, it didn't pay off for him. And he looks a bit stupid now. But, oh, well, it's not a big deal.
Sean, would you have a preference in terms of Brentford playing a back three or a back four? Or is it much more important what Everton do at the moment?
Yeah, I don't think, from our point of view, we're really that, you know, focused on what formation Brentford are going to play. I think for us, it's all about making sure that we're nice and tight and not giving any silly away. Because there's not many goals in the side at present. So, I mean, unless we go out this week and bring reinforcements in, it's difficult to see how we get in from the game other than, you know, nick a 1-0 or a 1-1 or something like that, or grind out a 0-0. I think if there's goals in the game, then we'll end up being on the wrong side of it.
Is there any way between now and the window shutting, and again, we're taking a bit of a risk discussing this because we're going in advance, but is there any way before the window shuts that Everton can't buy a forward? Like, could the window shut and not buy another forward? Because it just feels, I know obviously Dom is a massive miss for you at the moment, but relying on him to stay fit all season when he missed so much of last season is a huge gamble, isn't it? If that's what the club does.
Yeah, massive. But the noise is, you know, coming from Frank Lampard and you know, the sort of the more informed accounts, there doesn't seem to be anything close for a striker at the minute. And Frank has mentioned a couple of times within the last 7 days how, you know, we're not going to be without Dominic forever. And that to me is rather worrying. He is back in light training, so he's not going to be too far away, I don't think. I'd like to have said no, you know, we'll definitely sign somebody. But I'm just not convinced. I think if we had somebody that we wanted, we were able to bring in, we'd have done it. It all points to money issues. And it wouldn't surprise me if we don't bring anyone in unless Anthony Gordon leaves and goes to Chelsea and we get a huge sack of money coming from that.
If you don't buy a forward and Dominic Calvert-Lewin misses as much as he missed last season, can you stay up?
No.
Is it that brutally honest?
Yeah. Oh, if the window shuts and Dom's we've got Dom and we've got Rondo. For me, and people will disagree, as in other Evertonians, but we, for me, are 100% down. 100%. It wouldn't surprise me if we were comfortably down.
Just to clarify, you were saying at the moment you think you'll go down either way. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, I think the only chance we've got of staying up, I mean, I said this on my season preview, one of the last things I said was, if we were to sort of have any chance of finishing outside the bottom three and in the sort of bottom seven, we would have to be lucky with injuries again, and we'd have to go on, we'd have to sign players. We were linked with Cornet, we were linked with Dennis, and they were the names I mentioned on the pod at the time. It was, inconceivable to me that we wouldn't get, at least one of those two, but we never. And the only reason, I can come up with is that it's financial. I keep reading stuff saying that basically Everton can't put large amounts of, money down and initial payments for players. And that's why we keep missing out. So I think unless we get, a couple of forwards in before the window shuts, if we do, I think we could stay up. But if we don't, I just don't think we've got a cat and else chance.
Do you think, and again, we're taking a gamble here, do you think the club should take the money for Gordon?
If the offer comes anywhere near 50 million, then yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would have personally, I'd have accepted one of the previous two offers that they've made that have been rejected. But you've got to have players lined up, haven't you? There's no point in accepting the money, and then we just have money sitting in the bank until January. You've got to know who you can bring in with that money. So if I knew there was decent striking options that I could bring in, then yeah, I'd be packing Anthony off to Chelsea, take the money and reinforce up front.
Yeah, I don't feel like that's a slight on Gordon, because obviously he's been great for you over the last year, and he's a young boy, he's still learning. It's just that's not a priority position for you. You've got other players who can play the role, and then to reinvest that money up front. I mean, from the outside, I think I feel like everybody outside is looking at it as going, take the money. Take the money and reinvest it. It feels like. I think the other concern for you at the moment is, obviously, you played Forest at the weekend. Yeah. Fairly even game. They've obviously got 4 points already from a difficult start. That's pretty good for them. You look at Fulham, 5 points from three games. Bournemouth have won their first one and obviously had a really difficult set of opening fixtures. Leeds have made a good start. Southampton won at Leicester. These are all the teams we expected to be around the bottom with you, like Manchester United on shit as they are and not going to stay down there, for example. And is that concerning you as well? That actually the other kind of teams we've mentioned might be down there have all started okay?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I watched Leeds against Chelsea, and they're not looking like a side who are missing, the two major players that we sold one bit, because they've replaced them very, very well, and they've got an idea of what they want to do, and they're very, they're very effective at doing it. We're playing three at the back at the minute. I'm not convinced it's any better for us than what we were playing last season. So, people, I keep hearing other Evertonians saying, yeah, but we look a bit more solid, we look harder to beat, but we still haven't kept a clean sheet. So, I'm not sure how much.
No, but then you can say penalty aside against Chelsea, they didn't create that much against you. The display was okay. Again, what you already said, if Pickford palms the shot anywhere different, maybe it's clean sheet against Forest, for example. So, I mean, four goals conceded in three games is not disastrous. It's the other end. How do you view Brentford? Do you view them as the sort of team that you should be targeting? I don't necessarily mean in terms of points at the weekend, but I mean in terms of, do you think that they're likely to be in the bottom six and in that battle? Or do you see them as better than that?
No, I sort of mentioned, I see them as sort of seventh from bottom, or 13th, however you want to look at it, sort of thing, is the lowest that they would finish. I think Brentford will be fine.
Tom, how do you feel hearing that?
Yeah, love it. I mean, I think when you said a minute ago, and you were naming the teams that you were expecting to be around the bottom, and you didn't mention us, I was like, for me, I still see it as we're still not that big a club, if that makes sense. You'd expect us to be around there, but you're starting to hear people now not talking about us in the same sort of, you know, people at the start of the season saying, well, the three teams that are going up are going back down, sort of thing, and then naming a few other little teams that are going there. I mean, Southampton's been named quite a lot, Everton as well, but we're sort of not being mentioned as much in it. I think we've got to be a bit careful with it, just not get carried away and say, oh, you know, we're obviously going to be safe. That would obviously be stupid. And I don't think we will think like that, because that's not how Frank and his team sets them. You know, when he wouldn't set them, say, oh, yeah, you're going to be fine, sort of thing. That's, I mean, no club says that, but I'm still not, you know, it's still getting into that mentality of actually, no, we're getting to the point where we're doing well and we're getting better and better. And I mean, obviously the 4-0 against United was amazing, but even like the 2-0 at Leicester, I actually think was probably more of an impressive second half, if that made sense. Because to be 2-0 down and to come 2-0, it's like shows the sort of, you know,
yeah,
shows
and you hadn't done that at all last season as well. So no, psychological,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we were 16 points from losing positions last year, which is good. But to be 2-0 down to come back, and even yesterday, I mean, we were 2-0 down, came back, and obviously last minute goal obviously put it away. But to Frank's, what I've seen this year already is the tactical ability of Frank to go, right, this is where we need to change it. This is, you know, throwing on players. I mean, in the first game against Leicester, I think at one point we had like one centre-back on the pitch, and it was just like all-out attack sort of thing, trying to get a goal. And I mean, towards the end of the game, it looked like we could have won that one in the end. But yeah, we're looking better and better. Obviously,
you've conceded more goals than Everton.
Yep, 5. Yeah, 2 against Leicester and 3 against Fulham.
You can't carry on at conceding nearly 2 on average per game.
No.
Obviously, away from home, you've conceded 5 goals in the 2 away games. You ain't going to be getting a lot away from home if you keep doing that.
No.
That said, the major difference, you go, oh, okay, that's worse than Everton. But you've scored 8.
Yes.
In comparison to Everton's 2. And it goes back to, obviously, Everton's attacking problems. The only thing I would say, and I really like Tony, but I'm going to dig him out again, was his interview on the pitch after the United game.
Yeah.
Was giving it up. I've never heard of second season syndrome. I don't know what that is. Do you know? And I did think, tell you what, mate, it's only 2 games gone out of 30.
Exactly.
I'm not sure I'd be blowing that just yet, mate.
No, I mean, I love his confidence, and like some of the interviews he's had sort of over the last couple of years have been great. And I think it's sort of, I don't think anyone at Brentford believes there is second season syndrome. It's everyone in the media. And so by him, again, just putting out there, it's just sort of, I think it just reinforces the fact that they're doing the right thing and they're not, you know, he doesn't believe that's the thing. And if the team doesn't believe that's the thing, I mean, it's all a confidence thing, isn't it? I mean, if the team believes there's second season syndrome and it's a big old curse and they're going to go down, then, I mean, they're going to go down. But if they're all there going like, nah, not a thing, it's not real, then it's what, I mean, I like to hear that. It's a bit arrogant, but you like to hear that your players are saying those things because it means that they're confident in their own abilities and they don't think they're going to go down this year. So,
no, I know, in all seriousness, nobody thinks you're going to go down, mate, despite the performance at Fulham at the weekend.
Yeah.
Nobody does. It's just psychologically, we know, because we've been here before.
Sure.
How many teams have we looked at and gone, nah, they'll be all right? I'd said this to you in the summer. We said exactly the same about Leeds this time last year.
Yeah.
No, not a problem. They play differently.
Sheffield United the year before that.
Sheffield United the year before that as well. So you know that the historical is there, and that's why people talk about it as a thing. And it does tend to happen more to the teams that do very well. And it's gone on longer. I'll go back to Reading in the late noughties, Ipswich in the early noughties. It's actually happened to a lot of teams who've done really well, and then bang, second season has been really tough and stuff. I think the difference for you is as well is the depth of the squad is better now.
So much better.
So again, we spoke about this, but since we last spoke, obviously you've got Hickey in, Ben Mee's in, now you've got Damsgaard in as well, who's not going to be rushed in. I know a lot of people want to know about Mikael Damsgaard. He's not going to play for a while, is he? He wasn't even a sub at the weekend, was he?
No, I mean, Frank came out in the press conference before the Fulham game and said that, you know, they're going to make sure that he's ready to play before he plays. They don't want to mess around and sort of, I mean, I think they're going to do something to actually what they did with Eriksen. I mean, last year, so for people who don't know, Damsgaard was out pretty much all of last season with a major injury. And so to bring him in and go, right, there you go, let's play 90 minutes of football is never going to happen. And I think they'll do similar to what they did with Eriksen last year, where, I mean, what we signed him in January, he didn't play his first game till March. So we could see similar that Damsgaard doesn't get his first full game until maybe another month, maybe you know 3 or 4 weeks, and so just see where he lies really, and see how the fitness goes. I'm not hearing anything about like an injury. I don't know why he wasn't on the bench on the weekend, but maybe it's just sort of they've looked at it more so and gone right, let's give him some time to get there.
I think as well, because obviously he starred for Denmark last summer and essentially stepped in the team for Christian after what happened to Eriksen, that people have very much forgotten how young he is. He's just turned 22.
Yeah.
So he's still a young player. It's not anything that you need to rush there.
No.
I know when his price come out, I saw people, he's straight in my FPL team. Slow down.
Stay as far away as possible.
I'd say there's every chance he won't be a regular starter for you till after the World Cup, but he's going to want minutes before then, isn't he? That's the flip side of it.
Yeah, I don't know, to be honest. Obviously, all the players want to play. I think the weird one for me is I still don't know where he's going to play. Naturally, he's a left-sided winger slash midfielder. I know, obviously, everyone's talking about him playing through the middle and he's going to be Christian Eriksen's replacement, but, I mean, he's played not that many games through the middle. He plays off the left. So, and obviously we just signed Keane Lewis-Potter, who's a left winger. And we have
Joao Bissa. Was one of your more impressive performers at the weekend when he came on
He came on. Yeah, that's why I think potentially if we did stick with a four going into the weekend, he will maybe get his first start, which would be nice to see. But I think we might, I still think it'd be a three back this weekend, but I mean, we'll see coming this weekend. But I don't really know where Damsgaard's going to play. And obviously Keane Lewis-Potter coming in potentially could be quite interesting.
You've almost overloaded there a little bit, haven't you?
Because
essentially, if you go, let's just say 4-3-3, I think Damsgaard in certain games could play in a midfield three. I think, particularly if you bring Jan Elk back in with Norgaard, and then it can kind of fluctuate between 2/3 in midfield. You've got Vissa wants to play on the left. Keane Lewis-Potter can obviously play in a front three.
Yep.
Damsgaard similar. This is what we're talking about, actually, the depth's there, isn't it?
It's great.
We've already identified Sergi Canos injured, Jerome Pinnock out at the moment. This is why another reason why I think people think you'll be all right. The concern is if you lose the key players, as we spoke about in the summer, the Reyes, the Norgaards, the Tonys, then you might have a problem.
Yeah, obviously got a lovely backup keeper. So if Reyes does go out injured, we've got the new number two, which is
so everyone's told us, but like if you go looking for him on YouTube, the first clip you'll find of him is punching one into his own net for Lazio in the Europa League last year.
No, we don't actually know. Let's not talk about that.
Okay.
Yeah, we haven't seen him in the Premier. He could be fantastic. So Viss can play up through the middle as well if Tony does go out. As you said, the strength and depth is great. It's an exciting time to be a Brentford fan. It's been a while. The last few years have been not too bad for us. So
I'd argued for Brentford fan, the majority of the last decade and more has been great, hasn't it, mate?
Oh, I don't know. I remember Notts County away in League Two, and that wasn't too fun. So
it's more than 10 years ago, surely, mate.
Championship. Yeah. Maybe about 15 years ago, but we've got there. We're finally here. So yeah. And I'm really impressed with their signs over the transfer window. It's good money signings as well. Like, we've not spent stupid amounts of money. What, we've bought in six players, and we spent about just under 50 mil, I think. So, that's great to see.
What have you made of yours, Sean? It looked, and I've not seen as much of the game as you've probably seen at the weekend, like James Tarkowski had a bit of an iffy day against Forest. It surprised me that he's gone in and played left-sided centre-back, because when he ended up playing, ironically, left of Burnley's back four, admittedly different system, when Ben Mee was out, he looked out of sorts completely. I actually thought he was a player that couldn't play on the left side of a back lineup, but that's where he's gone in for you, and despite the injuries to Godfrey and Mina, looks like that's where he's going to stay. What have you made of Tarkowski so far?
Yeah, he was really good the first two games, not so good against Forest, but it's just typical of what we do. We sign players and then we put them in a different position. It's one of my, it's been one of my pet hates for a long time now. And we're doing the same with him. I think if it wasn't, it wasn't for Yerry getting injured, I'm pretty sure we'd have seen Tarkowski and Mina play alongside each other. So Tarkowski probably would have been the right-sided centre-back, but If we were going to play two at the back, but obviously because we want to play three and Frank wants somebody in there with some pace, because he's got injured, we bring Connor Cody in. So it's almost like, that's where Tarkovsky's got to go. I mean, you could swap him with Holgate, and Holgate could play left side at centre back, because he did play at times as the left side at centre half last year. But Mason's got a major problem with his passing when he plays on that side. So it's almost like they put him on the right to improve that. Yeah, so okay. I think it's very much trying to come up with a settled back three, and Frank has spoke about it, that's something that he wants to bed in. What has impressed me about Tarkowski is his long range passing, and it may well be that they put him on that side to sort of open up the pitch a bit more and get that switch of play from where he is out towards Patterson on the right. And it was noticeable in one of the preseason friendlies, and then going into the early games in the season, he's able to pull that pass off with regularity. So yeah, I've been impressed with him. Connor Cody's come in and made a decent start, but the two very experienced Premier League players, aren't they? But neither one of them have got much pace.
You don't need it as much in your system, particularly if it is funneling into a back five and going into a low block, which I guess in a lot of games this year it will. You don't need the pace so much. Admittedly, over short distances, people like Haaland will probably kill you, but it'll kill most teams, mate. So I wouldn't stress about that too much. I think the experience brought in is a very clever thing that Lampard's done. I think they're both good signings, actually. Cody also obviously leans into the idea of staying with a back three. Our friend Bradley will often say he can't play in a back four, right? Yeah. And you have got a huge number of centre-backs now. Even with Godfrey and Mina fit, we've got the three who's playing. You've still got Michael Keane on the books as well. I presume that's another potential way to find wages within the squad, but it's probably a reluctance to let him go. Yeah. We've Godfrey out for 3 months, and Mina, unfortunately, he just can't get a run of games, can he?
No, he just seems to... his body seems to have just failed him. I'm pretty sure Mina will now not be seen till the World Cup. He'll probably go away and play every minute of Colombia's games, and he'll come back and just be destroyed again.
Yeah, I think we've all got that story somewhere, haven't we, of the player that always was available for internationals but not in clubs. In his case, though, there's no questioning his wanting to play for Everton. He's just been incredibly unlucky, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean... It doesn't get more unlucky than his injury, does it? against Chelsea. I mean, there was nobody near him. It's just mad. I was a Premier League footballer, keep getting injured by like moving.
don't move. let's talk about Patterson a bit, Sean. We're obviously not going to spend a huge amount of time here on your FPL assets. I don't think that I'm not going to bore the listeners' time with that. But Patterson's really interesting, isn't he? At the time of recording, he's 4. By the time you hear this, he might be 4.1. I think there's every possibility he probably will be. Is he a viable asset for people?
Well, I wouldn't go there, to be honest. I think, now, Seamus Coleman back, I'll say fit. He's available. He can't be fit because he hasn't played during pre-season. But he's back ready for selection, and I don't know, like I say, the way we've actually been playing versus the way we sort of hoped we'd play, he's not been very attacking, Patterson. I was obviously had a bit of a cast my eye on Nico Williams, who I've actually got in my fantasy team. I went for him over Patterson in the end. And he looked more of a threat at the weekend. I don't know, he had a good game against West Ham as well. And I just not seeing enough of that from Patterson.
Okay. Yeah, as you kind of said, it's almost more like a back five at the moment. Get that.
Yeah.
There'll be people listening who have got both of the two players you mentioned, Patterson, and obviously Forrest Nico Williams is the one we've all been kind of comparing all throughout the summer. Sudra's got both. If he said to you, Sean, Shall I start Nico Williams at home to Tottenham, or shall I start Patterson away to Brentford? What would you say to him?
I'm not sure it matters. I'm not sure it matters. What do you always say? Find another solution.
Well, when you've got 4.0 defenders, if you've got them both in the squad, you're not looking for a different solution. So just in a position where he's picking week on week one of the two of them or Andreas Pereira. And obviously this week, Andreas Pereira goes to Arsenal as well. So if he's still in that situation this week, he's got a really tough call between the three of them. I have no idea what he'll do at the time of recording, how he'll treat that. But the obvious one on paper, the paper one would be, with respect to Tom's team, would be play Patterson, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah. I think that's a mistake that the people, that's a trap that people could fall into, though, isn't it? I mean, I don't think there's a chance that we will keep a clean sheet. We're prone to individual mistakes that lead to goals. We're rubbish away from home. I can't see us keeping a clean sheet. We just look absolutely dreadful going forward. So it could change because we used to say that in the week there won't be a striker coming that we don't know about. And, you know, if he's good in the air, then it's easy for Patterson to put a cross in and he bangs a header. But at the time of recording, I'd play Nico Williams or Pereira before I play Patterson. Really would.
Tom, who would you play out of them three? Nico Williams versus Tottenham, Patterson away to yourselves, or Andreas Pereira at Arsenal?
I'm trying to decide, have we scored more goals than you this year?
That's a very good question. The answer is yes.
Then I'd play Nico Williams. No, but in serious, I would probably play Nico Williams just from an attacking point of view, though. I mean, if you expect both of them to lose a clean sheet, then I'd probably go Nico Williams because, I mean, he's been pretty, pretty forward, hasn't he? So just from that point of view, really, I mean, probably do that.
What if we add to that question a fourth player, Josh De Silva?
Well, I mean, there's only one answer to that one, isn't there? So
is it?
So
you set yourself up for a
fall. I did, didn't I? I'm in a bit of a weird situation at the moment. So you know my love for Josh De Silva has been very well documented on these podcasts.
Yes, I've been dining off it, and it's all your words, mate. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome, mate. I might be selling him.
Okay.
There we go.
Go on.
So I'm currently sat with Raya Mbeumo and Josh De Silva.
Yeah, and with the run of games, and he wants to do something about it.
I do want to. No, actually, well, to be honest, Tony won't be coming in now to our wild card because I just can't. My team's just, it's set well. I'm doing well, so there's no point in messing with that structure. But Rico Henry versus De Silva, with the runner games we have and with Aya coming back fit, I think potentially could be a better prospect.
What you're saying is you've got three Brentford players.
I've got three and I can't fit four in.
But you want to have three starting Brentford players.
Exactly.
Is what you're saying. And you're honestly telling the listeners that Ivan Toney's still not going to be one of them.
Ivan Toney's not one of them, no.
Okay. It's very interesting. Do you think, just stay on De Silva for a moment, do you think he'll start against Everton?
Yeah, I think he will. He was still brilliant. I thought he played really well. I think he was one of our best players, better players against Fulham. I don't think the whole team played particularly well, but he was one of the better ones. But again, you saw him get pulled off at about, was it 60 minutes, 65 minutes? Same with Jensen. He came with 59 minutes. I think Josh Silva's, not everyone is me, so no one else has three Brentford players in their team. So Josh Silva is a fantastic enabler. He will play a lot, still play games. And as I said, if he's fit and available, whether he starts or he's on the bench, he will have some involvement in the game. I think we've played three games. I'm pretty sure Thomas Franks used 15 substitutes in those three games. So the way Frank is playing at the moment, and obviously everyone said at the start the squad depth will be really good for the big teams, but actually I think it's been fantastic for us, and Josh De Silva's been very, very good. He's obviously not going to score like a 0.01 XG goal from outside the box every other game, but he does have a good goal scoring record when he's been fit. He does have a good assist record when he's been fit. Obviously he's in the Premier League now, it's a little bit different, but I mean, as we've seen the goals, let's say the De Gea one was a little bit lucky because David De Gea was popping on wrists, but the goal against Leicester was fantastic. So, and that's what he can do. So I De Silva's definitely still someone to have. Has he gone up to 4.7 now?
It's 4.6.
It's 4.6 still, okay.
And I think after Pereira's performance against yourselves at the weekend, there's every chance that will sit now, whereas probably if Pereira had blanked, he probably would have been going up to 4.7. And when De Silva got booked at the weekend as well, it's probably helped him. Essentially, whatever the points return will affect whether you're going up or coming down at the moment, basically. Are you moving to Pereira then? Is that what you're doing?
No, I have both at the moment. So I have Pereira and De Silva. Okay. Pereira sat third on my bench this week because there was no worth playing a Fulham player or even having a chance of him coming on against me. But
if someone was sitting there at the moment with Romeo Lavia in their team and went bit sick of that, fancy one of them two other boys, would you advise De Silva or Pereira at the moment?
Pereira, 100%.
Really? I'm surprised you say that.
At the start of the season, so I mean, Cam, who I do my podcast with, he said, who do I get, De Silva or Pereira? And I said, well, why would you get the Brentford player who may potentially not play every single game or the Fulham player who at the moment as well are playing very nice football? And he starts every game and he plays a good amount of it. And he might get subbed off the last 10 minutes, but I mean, De Silva's been subbed off at what, 60 minutes pretty much. Or so.
In the Manchester United game, they tried to take him off about minute 55 and he made it, didn't he?
Just
a couple of points.
I mean, he's been great. And if you have two of them, then yeah, I think both of them are, I think they are the two to own at 4.5/4.6 now. But if I was going pick one of them, then I'd, as hard as it is for me to say, Pereira is probably the better choice at the moment.
But then you'd pick De Silva over him in your team this week, right?
Yeah. Well, so I've had three game weeks of De Silva, and I've had 3 game weeks of De Silva sitting first on my bench. So at the end of the day, he's a 4.5 enabler. And if you have to play him, you play him, but you probably won't play him. So yeah, it's great that he's scoring all these, you know, and for me personally, I'll absolutely love him. I think he's an it's fantastic talent. So I love to see it and I don't care if I'm benching points, but at the end of the day, you're not really going to play that many 4.5 players. The only thing I don't know is, I don't know what Pereira's run of fixtures are. I know Brentford's run of fixtures now until 16 is obviously very good.
If you look at the next four, you've got Everton at home, Palace away, Leeds at home, Southampton away, whereas Fulham have got Arsenal, Tottenham, Chelsea and a home game against Brighton.
Oh, then pick De Silva. Take it all back. You get Josh in, he's a much, much better choice. So, I mean, I've been asked 3 million times about this one as well. And don't get him Matthias Jensen. I think that may have been a question you were going to have at some point, potentially.
It really wasn't because I would have assumed that was your answer.
But yeah.
Just because he scored one goal against
and got
United
an assist on, and got an assist on the weekend. Yeah, exactly. And everyone can say, oh, is he a good option?
I don't know
Silver.
Why you would. We could maybe have to debate if De Silva wasn't 4.6.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't really. No. A lot of people have said, oh, is he an option to De Silva? And I've just said,
I think
no.
That's typical kind of early season. I don't know why you would pick Jensen over De Silva. No. I can't. Good player.
Absolutely.
I certainly think he's made a good start to the season for you. But he's no more locked in that team than De Silva is.
No.
No, that would be my take on it. Sean, what can you tell us about Amadou Onana?
Well,
big money.
He's had a bit of a mixed start, hasn't he, the lad? I mean, he's not played a huge amount of football. when you look at him last season at Lille, so he's very much you know, one not one for the future, but what you know, he's going to have to settle down because the Premier League's already. In his couple of brief appearances, he's been found wanting a couple of times. Obviously, he came on against Villa.
He had an impact at Villa, no?
He did, yeah. But I mean, it's very unforgiving, isn't it? This league, you know, the kid comes on, gets the ball, wants to do something, tries to beat a player, and loses the ball, and then it ends up in the back of our net. You know, me personally, I don't blame him for that. I don't think anyone should be afraid of trying things in the opponent's half of the pitch, because I mean, if you can't defend a turnover, then it doesn't say very much about you as a team. But this is the problem he's going to have, you know, at our club, whilst we don't have anything resembling a defensive midfielder, and that's a problem he's going to have.
So he's not it, I take it.
No, he's very much like from everything I've read and looked at, he's very much a box to box type player. That could, you know, play as a defensive midfielder in the future, but he'd have to acclimatise to the league. He'd have to be in the right, you know, team structure. And I don't think that's where Everton plan to use him. I think Everton are going to use him similar to how we did with Fellaini under David Moyes, and try to get him, you know, doing a lot of his good work going forward. And certainly at the end of the Villa game, you could see that he was a real handful in the box. He, you know, he helped us equalise, and he nearly got a good chance to get a winner for us. But he came on against Forest, and it was a bit peculiar because Tom Davis was actually having a good game, and Tom was sort of playing as a hold, more of a holding midfielder, and letting Iwobi get around the pitch and probe. But then Frank took Tom off and brought Onana on, and then we sort of lost that protection in front of the defence, and Forest sort of grew more into the game then, and not long after, you know, managed to get a goal and take the lead. So I think there is talk of Garner supposedly still coming back. There's some sort of paperwork wrangle going on. So I think if Garner comes back, this is where, when you earlier said about will we stick with a back three, potentially we won't, because if they sign Garner, then they could play. I would expect them to work towards playing Garner, Onana and Iwobi as a midfield three.
You really need something else to go with Garner, Onana, and there's got to, you know.
I know, yeah. Surely
someone out there is called What's My Name. Like, that player must exist out there somewhere that you can go and buy it.
Something very similar, yeah. It's got him.
I mean, in fairness, and we did say this in the summer as well, Alex Iwobi, over the last 4 or 5 months, has been your best player, in my opinion. He's actually, Frank Lampard deserves a lot of credit for what he's done with Iwobi in terms of transforming him as this box-to-box midfield. I'm not mean to compare him to, say, Joe Linton at Newcastle, for example, but suddenly it's come about all this kind of transformational in terms of the positional change. He'd be better in a three as well, wouldn't he?
Yeah, that's it. I think so. But we go back to, of course, who's going to score the goals. And this is the problem that we're going to have throughout the whole season, because as much as those three together would be make us a lot more solid, I think it's just going to sort of, I can only liken us to sort of Wolves in the Wolves last year. You know, they were very much a 1-0 team, where if they won, it was 1-0. If they kept the clean sheet, you'd invariably grind out a win. And I can only think that that's what Frank's trying to do with Everton. I think that's how he sees the best chance to get points.
Yeah, I mean, certainly that, if that was a midfield three, I personally don't know enough about Onana, but Onana, Iwobi and Idrissa Garner-Gay, if he comes back, wouldn't strike me as a midfield that would get 10 goals between them. I don't think it'd be anywhere near it, to be honest. But you could go that way, stick with a back three and play like Damari Gray and Calvert-Lewin up front. Because Gray's actually almost looked at his best when he's kind of played as a floating 10 position.
Yeah, I think that's what we should be doing. We should be playing more of a 3-5-2 than a 3-4-3. And I'm going to say 3-5-2. You can play with like, say, Damari Gray off a striker or off Calvert-Lewin. So it's, you know, he's almost, you know, your sixth midfielder when you haven't got the ball. And I think that's what we should be doing, this sort of Gordon and Gray or McNeil, just sort of like as inverted wingers. I don't know, it just doesn't seem to be giving us too much, I don't think. Because if we had the wing backs bombing on, then yeah, maybe. But I think the wing backs aren't bombing on because of what I spoke about with the lack of pace in Cody and Tarkowski. So I think it's all about Frank scared of getting the wing backs bombing on, because then the back three is exposed.
Yeah, the scary thing, and this could lead into another whole hour conversation, we have to keep it short. How much did you pay for Onana?
Well, it's hard to say because it's all sort of installments and stuff. So it's not mega money.
Fair whack though, isn't it? Potentially for a player who possibly doesn't improve the team in the immediate. It's not to say that he
won, but
in the immediate doesn't. When we know you're looking at the team, it comes back to the mess of the way the club's being run, right?
No, you're right. The point's right.
Tom, if you were wildcarding now, which three Brentford players would go in?
David Raya, Rico Henry, Ivan Toney.
Not on Bumo.
No, as much as it pains me to say, probably not.
So how are you going to get Toney, mate?
When I wildcard.
This is just like a huge error from you, isn't it?
No, it is.
We know you're going to have three Brentford players prepared. And you haven't put the best one in, mate.
Yes, so that is a slight issue of mine that I've made. Let's see what happens if we go to a three back, and then you can invite me back on and I can tell you how many goals Mbeumo scored and how many assists Tony's provided. At the moment, we're playing in a four back. Tony's our best option. If we go back to a three back, which we potentially will, I think Mbeumo is a better option. But at the moment, Tony's the one to have.
I'll just remind you at this moment that Ivan Toney, at the time of recording, is the joint high scoring forward in FPL.
Matter. That's not a problem.
Cool. I assume, Tom, if anyone was buying Toney, you would say crack on, get on with
absolutely.
It.
Yeah, I mean it's a no brainer, really. He's been a joy to watch. He's been brilliant. I mean, some of the pass of the Mbeumo goal was. I mean, he must have been taking tips from Harry Kane recently because that was gorgeous. That was. He could have. I mean, he was a toenail offside yesterday for the offside goal. Obviously, he was in the box in the right place for the second one, but the actual finish for the offside goal was very, very nice.
He actually had two disallowed goals, didn't he? His finish for the other one, which was well offside, was also a great finish.
Yep. So he's just, confidence high. He's playing well. He's getting good service. Like, the players playing around him is great. So. If you're going to pick a Brentford player and you're only going to have one of them, Tony's the one to have. I think David Raya is still a great option. I mean, some of the saves he made yesterday he kept us in the game yesterday. We could have lost by a lot more, 100%. And I think Rico Henry is also, I mean, it would have been the offside guy goal for Tony would have also been an assist for Rico Henry. And then everyone's talking about him again. So
are you comfortable with that? Two defensive Brentford?
Yeah. The only issue I've got with it at the moment is we're still missing Christopher Ayer, I'd say. Once he's back, then I'm pretty happy. I mean, I think Pontus is still a great defender, just is a little bit slow, needs a bit of support. Bemi, I think, is a great defender. I think I've always been a big fan of his anyway. When we signed him, that was a bit of a surprise for me, but always been a fan. Just like a proper old school defender of, you know, just going to smash someone up in the air, really, isn't he? That's all he does. So, and it works. And then once Christopher is back, and I mean David Raya in goal, I think we'll see quite a few clean sheets coming.
If I stopped you and said you can only have one, Raya or Henry, which one?
Raya, because I think there's better 4.5 options in defence you can have.
I'm in agreement. There'll be a few people screaming about Ben Mee at the moment. 4.6 scored more points. No,
well, he scored a header above. A very small centre back. So,
a very small centre back who happened to bend down as well.
I think just to
help the giant Ben Mee, who's not actually a giant himself either, who didn't even have to get off the floor to nod that in. But okay. There's a case to say that your centre backs, we saw this with Janssen particularly last year as well, your centre backs will get returns, mate.
Yeah. I mean, in the box, we're very good. What I'd say is that if you're punting on one of them right now, then be aware that Chris Sofia is going to come back to fitness. I mean, he's in training at the moment, so I assume he'll be back in maybe, I'm going to say 2 weeks. I don't think he'll be back in time for Everton, but give it 2-3 weeks, he'll be coming back. Ethan Pinnock's out for a little bit longer, but even still, you've got, once he's back, then you've got four centre-backs playing either, let's say we're still playing a four-back, you've got two places. Three-back, then you can obviously, now we've seen Mads Rosalev play at right centre-back. He's also an option. So we've now got five players playing for a position of three. As I said at the start of the season, I think Pinnock and I are the dead cert going to start. If I was picking our best 11, they would be the two that come into the team straight away. And Pinnock on the left side, I on the right side. And so therefore, if you're punting on Ben Mee or Pontus Janssen, I mean, it could potentially be a short punt. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, if you want to get one in for a couple of weeks, then by all means, but it wouldn't be my advice. I wouldn't say go ahead and do it.
Okay, fine. Tony, definitely worth finding the extra over Mbeumo, in your opinion?
I mean, if money isn't the option, so I personally, I'm very happy sitting with Brian. I think he's a great footballer. I actually think his finish against United, everyone was saying last year, obviously hit the post so many bloody times. I think it was like six or seven by the end of the year. It was everyone's calling the postman by the end of the year, weren't they? So his finish against United.
No, mate, because postman normally delivers. So I'm not heard that, no.
Duh. Okay, fine. his finish against United was great. I think he's getting in the right areas. And I think it was really good. I mean, if we go back to three back and he's playing up front with Tony, there's even potential to make a case that Brian could be a better asset than Tony, but then you've got Tony's got pens and he's in unbelievable form at the moment. So the wise moves get Tony if you have the money. If you can't get the money and you still want a Brentford attacker, I still think Mbeumo is a good option.
Okay. Sean. Solomon Rondon. I can't say this with a straight face, mate. He's 5.0. Do you think he'll stay in the team? Is the first question. obviously, yeah, till Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Things are that bad. Yeah, he will, yeah.
Okay. Now, obviously, there's only one more game for it. It's two games for you, Brentford away and Leeds away, before the transfer window shuts. So it might not be long-term. Could you make, if someone DMs you and said, "Hi, mate, heard you on Clash of Correspondence, heard you a bit of an Everton expert, thinking about getting Solomon Rondon in at 5 million, what would you say to them?"
I just laugh. Emojis repeatedly.
What if that person came back and said, "Oh, okay, then, I'm desperate for an Everton player. I want to get Damari Gray at 5.5.
No, no, just don't.
Okay. Sean, would you recommend any Everton player for FPL?
No.
Okay, good. Great. Tom, we know you'd recommend all fucking 11 for Brentford.
If I could, I'd try.
Right, I love it. Thanks so much, guys. That's really good fun. Tom, a prediction for is the game Sunday? When's the game? Is it on the telly this week?
No idea. Pass.
No, Saturday. It's Saturday. Saturday, 3 o'clock. Sorry, yeah. Ignore me. Yeah. Prediction for Saturday.
I'm gonna go 3-1 to us. I've solved Everton's midfield issue as well. Onana, Garner, you just got to sign Adam Lallana. Sorted.
It's not bad. It's a shame that he played for Liverpool, but it's not bad. Yeah.
Yeah, apart from that. 3-1.
Garner, Onana and Lallana. I can't wait for that to get released as a single. So you're predicting Everton to score against you, and yet you're contemplating having double Brentford defensive.
I haven't got it at the moment. Christopher is not back yet. Once he's back, then I can predict away.
I absolutely love you, Tom. Sean, prediction, mate.
Sadly, I'm going to have to say I think it'll be Brentford 2, Everton 0.
Yeah, I agree. These next two, Sean, are massive. And I think going into pre-season, you think, oh, will Brentford drop off a bit? Will Leeds be in trouble again? And right now, them two away games don't look like fun, mate, no. With the situation you're in. Then it's Liverpool, then it's Arsenal. Yeah, I'm not going to make you feel any worse, mate, but yeah, worried. Right. I feel like, and I think you already know this, from our time of recording, but from when the guys listen to this, the next week off the pitch is probably more important than the week on the pitch for what happens for Everton this season. I'm going to go the same. I think 2-0. As well, to be honest. I think, Tom, go for it, mate. If you wild card now, get your double defensive clean sheet. You're very strong at home, Tom.
Yeah.
Very strong. We've already seen it again already this season. So there won't be no shame in you getting beat there at the weekend, Sean. Big week for you. And no, Tom, I don't think you're going to suffer from second season syndrome at all. I think you'll finish probably roughly where Sean said you'll finish, because unfortunately you'll still have inconsistencies like Fulham away at the weekend.
We saw it last year, didn't we? So
Tom, where can everyone follow you on the Bird app?
FPL Dummy Tom is my handle.
Super. Plug your podcast.
Do a podcast every Monday called the FPL by Dummies. We are two idiots who talk about football.
It's just an extension of me and Serge with just a little bit more intelligence, basically, if you want to listen to that.
Slightly younger.
Definitely that, yeah. And better looking. And Sean, where can everyone follow you on the Bird app, mate?
At @spirit_blues.
Have you got anything you want to plug?
No.
Any outside Goodison Park demonstrations you want to plug or anything like that?
Watch this space.
Yeah, very much so, mate. I wish you both the very best of luck. I'll be back on YouTube tomorrow, most likely 3 p.m. UK time with my Arsh Jane stream. There are two Clash of the Correspondents for you next week, very early, probably hopefully early in the morning next Tuesday ahead of the Tuesday deadline, Bournemouth versus Wolves with Neil Grover and Bradley Parker. And then next Thursday ahead of game week 6, Manchester United versus Arsenal with Gary Robinson and Adam Pritchard. That just leaves me to say thanks again to Tom and to Sean. Good luck this weekend, gents. Cue music, please. Man Child.
The Fantasy Football Show.